Si la mujer.
Okay, fine.
So Krishna will reply by talking about how our faith constitutes our essence. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Trividha Bhavati Shraddha. Vidha Bhavati Shraddha. Dehinam Saswabhavaja. Nam Saswabhavaja. Sattvaki Rajasi Chaiva. Kirajasi Chaiva. Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrunu. Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrunu. So, Trividha Bhavati Shraddha. Shraddha is of three kinds. Dehinam Sa Swabhavaja. So, for the Dehinam, for those souls who are embodied, Swabhavaja. It is born from their Swabhava. And then he describes Sattviki Rajasi Cheta. Now Arjuna has said that yes, he has also said, is there faith in goodness, passion, ignorance? He says, yes, it can be in goodness, passion and ignorance. How it is? Tam Shru. Hear that. I'll explain that to you. So, let's see what he says in the next verse. Sattvan Rupa Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Yo yachraddasa evasa, yo yachraddasa evasa. So, sattvan rupa sarvasya. So, sattva, here the word sattva can mean goodness. The word sattva can also mean existence. So, sattvan rupa sarvasya. That means according to one's existence, shraddha bhavati bharata. According to one's existence is one's faith. And in fact, Krishna says that, Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho. So Shraddha Maya means like Anand Maya is filled with Anand. Shraddha Maya is filled with Shraddha. So a human being is actually made of his Shraddha. We are what our faith is. And he makes the same point clear. Yoyat Shraddha Saevasa. So as is one's faith, so is the person. So what this verse is actually talking in various ways about how our faith is our essence. So what first two lines say that as our existence is, so is our faith. Sattvan rupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata. Then shraddha mayoyam purushum. So we are in essence our faith. We are nothing, we are made of our faith. Shraddha mayoyam purushum. And then as our faith is, so we are. So this seems to be like a repetition, but the essential point is at how intimately we are connected with our faith. See, different people have different kinds of faith. So, people are, we generally use the word faith in the context of religion. But, even, say people are watching cricket match. Now there is this IPL going on. So now people are watching that. Now they have faith that by watching cricket they will become happy. Isn't it? So anything that a person does, there is a foundation of faith to it. Faith that doing this will make something good happen in my life, will make me happy, will make me whatever, prosperous or whatever it may be, the result. So it is actually, if you look at the activities that people do, it is all determined by their faith. So some people are mad after, different people have their hobbies. So some people like to collect butterflies, some people like to collect coins. Some people like to collect various kind of, nowadays the fad is to collect statistics in your brain. You know, or called to have, there are, collect statistics in your brain. You know, there are these quiz shows like Kaun Banega Karodpati. So where, you know, there is just trivia. So how historically does progress, knowledge was originally about what you applied. Knowledge was what you applied about. But then later on, knowledge, we just had knowledge for knowledge's sake. Now, for example, there's so much information about so many things which is not at all relevant with our lives. And then when we have all this irrelevant information, so what is the name of the second son of Amitabh Bachchan? You know, okay, what is the, so now we just memorize all this information. So you create a use for that information. And that use is quiz context like Kaun Banega Karodpati. So what is happening over here is people have faith that this information will be useful to me. So how it is, knowledge is useful when it is of practical use to us. But we collected so much information which is of no practical use, then all that information is there, I have to put it to some practical use. So create quizzes based on trivia, which put them to use. But people have faith that, okay, this information will be useful for me in some way or the other. So as our faith is, so we are. So Krishna describes this, and now, after this, he makes a very interesting statement about faith in the three modes. Ajante Satvika Devan, Yaksha Rakshamsi Rajasaha, Pretan Bhutaganam Shanye, Bhutaganam Shanye, Ajante Tamasajanaha. So, Krishna is describing that in goodness people worship the devatas, and in passion they worship the yakshas and rakshasas, and in ignorance they worship the pretas and bhutas. So now, does this verse strike us as contradicting something that we already know? What is that? Yes, we'll come to that point. So it contradicts what? That we say that those in goodness worship Vishnu, those in passion worship Brahma, and those in ignorance worship Shiva. So yes, that is also true. But to worship according to scripture itself requires some goodness. So following scripture requires goodness. So in a sense, just like we may say that animals are in the mode of ignorance in general. But then we also know that within animals there are gradations, isn't it? Say some animals like cow is in goodness. Some animals like lions are in passion. And some animals like say monkeys or snakes, they are in ignorance. So now what is it? All animals are in ignorance. So how you will have is, so a cow is in ignorance goodness. If you want to say like that, you know, cow is in ignorance goodness, lion or tiger is in ignorance passion, and monkey is in ignorance. Is this point clear? So there is a common denominator of ignorance, but within that there is gradation. Similarly, when we talk about the different devatas worshipping on different gods, different forms of worship, okay, so that is So worshipping say Vishnu, that is actually, it is goodness. There is then worshipping Brahma is what? It is goodness passion. There is a common platform of goodness, and then there is a further variant of passion. Then there is goodness ignorance. And then when we have yakshas rakshasas, that is passion. And ghosts is ignorance. Various kinds of worship. So following scripture itself indicates some basic level of goodness. That's why we have within that the gamut of Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. But then there are yakshas and ghosts who are worshipped by those who are in passion and ignorance. And this is also, it's also natural, because we will see that there are people who are in ignorance and they don't worship Lord Shiva. So what do they worship? They are worshipping some other things based on their own conceptions. So what is Krishna illustrating through his example? See, Krishna has said that Sattva anurupa sarvasya shaddha bhavati bharata, he said. According to one sattva, one worships. So now he's illustrating this by telling that, just see how different people, depending on their mode, they will worship differently. They will have shaddha in different things, and then they will worship accordingly.
So normally, worship of a transcendental God will be based on transcendence. So here the word Devan will include Vishnu also. Their conception of Vishnu is not transcendental, but to worship Vishnu also requires some amount of goodness, no doubt. So Devan will include Vishnu over here because Vishnu is Deva, Deva. He is among the Devas, though he is the greatest of the Devas. So now, let's look at the next section. So Krishna will talk about. So he described this gamut of austerities, this gamut of various forms of worship. Then he sort of goes back to the previous chapter to remind that what he is going to talk about is in contrast with them. So here he is talking about people who have some kind of faith. That means these people are not outright demoniac. The previous chapter talked about people who are outright demoniac. Now he is talking about people who have some kind of faith. So that is what he has described now, and that is what he is going to describe later. But in two verses here, just to draw a contrast between what is being discussed here and what was discussed earlier, he briefly describes those who were mentioned in the previous verse, previous chapter, the demoniac people. Ashastra vihitam ghoram tapyante ye tapojanaha dambhankar samyuktaha kamaraga balanvitaha karshayantah sharirastham bhutagrama machetasaha mam chaivantah sharirastham tan vidya sura nischayam. So ashastra vihitam, they do not follow shastra, and what they do is ghoram, it's ghastly. Tapyante, so they do austerity. Tapyante ye tapojanaha, they do austerity. But dambhankara samyuktaha, it's actually filled with arrogance and showiness. Kamaraga balanvita. So if you see, all these are characteristics of the demoniac people which Krishna has talked about in the previous chapter. So dambhankara samyukta, kamaraga balanvita. Karshayantaha sharirastham. So they torture their body. Karshayantaha sharirastham. Bhutagramam achetasaha. So they are torturing their body, achetasaha. So although they are torturing their body, they are not actually spiritually conscious. They are achetasaha. Mam chaivantaha sharirastham. So they torture their body, and Krishna says, I am also situated in their body, they torture me also. Tan vidya asura nishchayan. They are definitely asuras. So I'll explain this. So what is the point over here Krishna is making? See, Krishna, see, austerity, when it is used for some spiritual purpose, it has virtue. But austerity, when it is used for torturing oneself, then Krishna feels pity. Why is this person torturing himself like that? You know the pastime of Rukasur, where Rukasur started cutting off his body limbs, and when he was about to cut off his head, then Shiva appeared to him. Now Shiva did not appear because he was pleased with Rukasur's sacrifice. He appeared because, you know, he says, why is this person killing himself like this? Now he felt, he did not feel pleasure to appear over there. He just felt a basic human concern. Why should a person kill himself like this? And that's why he appeared over there. So this kind of austerity, or this kind of worship, this kind of religion, you know, it is having nothing to do with the essential spirit of religion. The essential spirit of religion is supplicative. Supplication, you know, supplication means request, prayer, humble asking. So, real religion is supplicative, whereas this kind of practice is manipulative. What is the difference between supplicative and manipulative? Supplicative means where we request for grace from higher beings. Why is the austerity called Asuri over here? Why they are called Asuras? So because their attitude is manipulative, not supplicative. Manipulative, not supplicative. That means they, if there is some higher power up there, then I will use that power to serve my own ends, to fulfill my own vested interests, to promote my own goals, my own agenda. So manipulative means, you know, there is emotional manipulation people can do. You know, you want to get somebody to do something, and then there is emotional blackmailing and things like that are used. So supplicative means we beseech, we beg, there is humility. Whereas in manipulation there is self-centered, wiliness, where a person wants to manipulate from others. So what Krishna is telling over here, that if somebody is filled with arrogance and pride, is lusty and attached, and then even if such a person does some external austerity, seeming austerity, that whole mentality is permeated by a demoniac attitude. So don't get carried away by the austerity that they are performing. They may seem to perform austerity, like Vrukasura is seeming to perform austerity, but actually the whole mentality is demoniac over there. For tan vidya asura nishchayan, they are definitely asuras, Krishna will tell. Now after describing this, then Krishna will talk about how we can analyze different people, what is the level of faith by looking at their actions. Yeah, the Lord feels distressed. Why are you torturing yourself like this? Yeah. Amal Mahapur, you had a question? Yeah.
You said that goodness, ignorance. So there itself I was having this...
Now Vrukasura was worshipping Lord Shiva, but he was not worshipping in a prescribed way. Now, there is no prescription in Shiva Puja to actually cut off your neck and offer. That is not prescribed. So, you know, you can be worshipping a particular deity, but then the worship also has to be done in the proper way.
That means when we say this ignorance, goodness and all that, that is basically following fully the scriptural methods.
Well, not necessarily fully, but at least there is some basis in scripture. You know, killing oneself is almost like it's like suicide. See, it's very different from, say, you know, emaciating one's body with austerity. It's almost like, you know, if a son says to a father, you know, I want to marry this girl. If you don't allow me, I'm jumping down from the 10th story. You know, it's just blackmail basically, isn't it? It's just blackmail. So it's almost like that. It's almost like that, what he's doing. Is it clear?
He could have gone to Yakshas, he could have gone to Bhutas, Pretas, but he is going to Lord Shiva. That means he has some faith on the Vedic authority.
Yes, he has some kind of faith in Lord Shiva. That's why he's gone to Lord Shiva. So certainly he has faith that Lord Shiva is powerful. But then we also see that immediately as soon as he gets the power, he wants to take Gauri. So that means he's not really devoted to Lord Shiva. He acknowledges the power of Lord Shiva, but as soon as he gets that power, he wants to usurp Lord Shiva's position. So in that sense, it's not really devotion. It's manipulation. You know, you just worship somebody so that you can get something by that person. In fact, overthrow that person only.
Any kind of demigod worship, will it not come under manipulation? Because ultimately, they don't have devotion. They actually want something.
Yeah, so will any kind of demigod worship not come under manipulation? Well, you could say yes, but then there are different grades. You know, it's manipulation is where, you know, just one wants to just Vrukasura's manipulation is very egregious, very outrageous what he's doing. See, to some extent, in all relationships there is reciprocation. In all relationships, you know, I do something for you, then I expect that you should do something for me. That is reciprocation. But manipulation means when you don't want to do it and still somehow I put pressures from you and I move various levers and force you to do something. So demigod worship is devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuva. So it's a reciprocation. It's God-centered. it's not still spiritual. It's God-centered in the sense that it is within the Vedic purview. It's not exactly Krishna-centered, but it is within the Vedic purview. And it awakens a person to higher consciousness. So we could say all religion is manipulative, that means all demigod worship, or all worship at a material level is manipulative. But there's a difference between, say, reciprocation and manipulation. But I do something and I expect something, that is a reciprocation. But manipulation means I just pressurize and use trickery to try to make a person do something which I don't want him to do, which he doesn't want to do. Yeah.
What was Hiranyakashipu's worship? He was going to Brahma.
What was Hiranyakashipu's worship? Well, it is also similar. It is also similar in the sense that he doesn't tell that to Brahma, but in the start of his doing his austerity, in chapter 3, I think, in the 7th canto, he says that Hiranyakashipu's plans to become immortal. So he thinks that Brahma is the most powerful, and I will attain the power of Brahma and I will attain the position of Brahma. Although when Brahma appears, then he just starts glorifying Brahmaji so much, flattering him so that he can get what he wants. So it will also be similar. So in a sense, you could say the worship that is in the lower modes, especially in the ignorance, and to some extent in passion also, but largely, at least in ignorance, that is quite manipulative. In goodness, it will not be so much. Okay, so now, yeah. Yes, torturing the super soul means that the super soul, of course, is transcendental, so he doesn't feel pain because of any physical sensations. But the super soul is affectionate to all of us. And when he sees us suffering, he feels pity. Why should you suffer like this? See, sometimes some people do self-flagellation. Self-flagellation means beating yourself. Now, if you see, if a father sees a child just beating his head against the wall, boom, 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 and his head is bleeding and there's so much wounds and pain, the father will feel pity. Why are you doing this? So it's like that. Mam chaivanta sharirastam bhuta gramam achetasa karshayantaha karshayantaha. Okay. Now after that, Krishna will now start describing that. He'll say that, now I'll describe these four characteristics by which we can sacrifice, austerity, charity and food, by which you can know which mode a person is situated in, accordingly you can know what his faith is. Aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha yajnas tapastatha danam tesham bhedamimam shrunu. So trividha bhavati, it is all in three categories. What all? Ahara, yagya, dana, yagya, tapa and dana. So those that bheda, imam shrunu, Arjuna, please hear this. Ayu sattva bala rogya, sukha priti vivardhanaha, sukha priti vivardhanaha, rasya snigdha sthira ridya, snigdha sthira ridya, ahara sattvika priya, ahara sattvika priya. So those in goodness, they naturally attract, like this kind of food, Krishna says, ahara sattvika priya. So what is the food? The food Krishna describes as, first he describes not by its characteristics, but by its effects. See, goodness, if you remember, the characteristic was, sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayate. All the senses are illumined by knowledge. So that was 14.11. So therefore, when he describes what kind of food those in goodness like, he says their primary criteria for discerning the food is its effects. Okay, what will be its effects on him? Based on that, they discriminate. And based on that, they decide. So he describes, what are the effects that the food will have? Ayu sattva palarogya sukha priti vivardhanaha. So, that this ayu, it increases the ayu. Sattva bala arogya. So it purifies our existence. Prabhupada using it is ayu, it increases the duration of life, purifies our existence. Bala arogya, it gives strength, it gives health. And sukha priti vivardhanaha. So happiness and satisfaction, it increases all these things. That is the character. And then after describing the effects of the food, then he describes the characteristics of the food to some extent. Rasya snigdha sthira ridya. So they are juicy, fatty, wholesome and pleasing to the heart. The sthira ridya. So now, in Anandavan Champu, Kavi Karanapur describes the characteristics of prasad. He says that how should prasad be? And he describes how Radharani cooks this prasad to perfection. So he says that when prasad is there, first thing is it should catch us by its fragrance. You know, the second thing is it should catch us by its sight. The third is it should catch us by its touch. And then lastly, it should conquer us with its taste. So, in this way he says prasad should be attractive. So, fragrance, sight, touch and taste. So, once Madhumangal, Krishna and all the gopas are invited to Rishabhanu Maharaj's place for prasad. And then Krishna and everybody is eating. So, Madhumangal eats the food. And after eating he says, oh my God! He says, this food is causing me so much anxiety. This food is causing me both ecstasy and anxiety. So Krishna says, hey, you talkative boy, stop. Eat silently. He says, how can I eat silently? He says, I've never eaten food like this in my whole life. It's such wonderful food. So then another Gopa asks him, then why is it causing you anxiety? So he says, I am wondering, after eating this food, how will I be satisfied with any other kind of food? So, sukha priti vivardhana. So, of course, prasad is transcendental. But prasad is also, from the material point of view, it is best when it is in goodness. So now, you know, one of the ways in which Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote an article about Krishna and culture, and there he said one of the ways in which, you know, ISKCON has sort of gone off from Prabhupada's vision is in cuisine. You know, Prabhupada in cuisine is in diets. Prabhupada, even he went to America or whichever part of the world, he actually introduced Vedic cuisines over there. He taught actually Vedic food to eat. But now all over the world, even in India, all kinds of foods are coming in the name of prasad. So that's not necessarily bad, but it's just an observation which he made, that prasad is something which is spiritual if you offer it to Krishna. So at the same time, you know, it is also a matter of contemplation whether prasad reminds us of Krishna. No, it's not automatic just before, because we put some food item in the course of Krishna, automatically it will remind us of Krishna. So, you know, there are many Western food items which we take in the name of prasad. Now, whether they really remind us of Krishna is a question. So what happens is, there is natural variety of food items. And that variety of food items comes from various reasons. But one of the primary reasons is that, actually different geographical areas have different kinds of foods that grow over there, and those foods are naturally suitable for the health. Now Ayurveda, they say if you want to eat fruits and vegetables, eat the seasonal fruits and vegetables, and not just seasonal but also local, whatever is grown in the local area. So now, because of say the internationalization of the culture, so people eat Chinese food, Italian food, this food, that food. So now for Chinese devotees to offer Chinese food to Krishna and take prasad is perfectly okay. But for Indian devotees to take Chinese food, offer it to Krishna and then take that as prasad, well, how much one remembers Krishna at that time is debatable. Isn't it? So it's not that something we should, it's not something that we should criticize others about, but it's for us to introspect. You know, we can't judge others. We are not meant to judge others about what they are eating and what their consciousness is. But ultimately, Krishna consciousness is something which we have to practice. And we have to see what is anukul to our bhakti. So, it's not, any food in any part of the world can be spiritualized by offering to Krishna. But that doesn't mean that it will automatically remind us of Krishna. So that's why, when we take prasadam, it's best to see what is anukul to our bhakti and then take prasad accordingly. Now, yes, ma'am? Food.
From 5 and 6 to 7.
Okay, why is there a sudden shift of thought? No, actually, the question was, what is the faith of people who are not following scripture? The answer starts with the point that faith is in goodness, passion, ignorance, and how that can be discerned, we can know. So now, our internals are known by our externals. So, our inner faith and the influence of the mode that determine that faith will be known by our externals. So Krishna says, for understanding that, look at these four externals. So look at the food, look at the sacrifices, look at the austerity, look at the charity. These are basically related to Arjuna's question as external symptoms of whatever inner thing, that inner faith that we want to know.
A person that his faith is not in scriptures but in something. So what is that something? You have to find out whether it is in goodness, passion, ignorance, and for knowing that you have to see the food, charity, the other two things also. Those four things you see, and based on that you can determine.
Correct. So among these four things, ahara is foundational to our existence. And yajna, dana, tapa are like foundational to religious life. Yajna, dana and tapa. So Krishna will talk about yajna, dana, tapa in the 18th chapter also. And he will say, yajna, dana, tapa karna pavanani manishinaha. But yajna, dana, tapa, these will purify even the people who are quite advanced. Yeah?
It has found that the food which pleases heart is not good for health, and that food which don't please heart is good for health. And in same purport it is given that one existent gives strength, health, happiness. So how this contradiction?
Yes. So food that pleases the heart, it is mentioned over here. But often food that pleases the heart doesn't is not very helpful for the body. So actually it pleases the heart, not pleases the mind. What is that? Sharira vidya jal jadini taay kal jeev tar mal jiva de logon se Krishna bada daye main khori bari jiva jaye sahi anna amrit pao nahi nahi sab prasad anna dilo bhai. So it's sthirarudya. This is what, not sthirarudya, what is it? Yeah, sattvika, no, what is it? Sthirarudya, pleasing to the heart. So I think there is a difference between the heart and the mind. So heart is actually referring to our innermost essence, that's the soul. Generally speaking, whenever we say, no, we should do, let Krishna enter into our heart. Or that often refers to the soul, generally speaking. Okay? So, yeah. Who is going to tell us when to stop? It started outside? Not yet. So can we go on till it starts? Yes. It won't be, it won't obviously be till 8 o'clock, but till maybe 7:30, maybe 15 minutes more. 15, 20 minutes more. Yes.
Juices nowadays, which is coming like preservatives, juices, different plastic, like pulps and everything. So are they come in which mode?
Juices that come nowadays in preservatives? Yeah.
Like bottles and everything.
Huh, so are they?
Which mode they will come?
Juices that come this way, in which mode are they? Generally, Krishna will talk about little later about how food that is too old, yata yamam gatakasam puti parishuttam chayat. So that is, Prabhupada translated as 3 hours. Okay, that's too much. Food cooked after 3 hours before being eaten. Yata yamam. So food that is old. So that one characteristic is that it's in ignorance. If its food is not eaten immediately, but then that is one characteristic. That is not the entirety of it. So preferable are fruits itself rather than fruit juices, even from a medical point of view. They say that the fruits contain much more nutrition than fruit juices, because in the process of making it liquid, much of the fibers are lost and much of the nutrition gets lost by that way. So, but fruit juices are okay because at least they're natural. Certainly fruit juices are better than soft drinks, isn't it? So, are they in goodness? You know, again, you know, this goodness, passion, ignorance, it's good for a broad analysis. But at a specific action to action, if you start analyzing, it will not be very helpful for us. It will make life very complicated. You know, like every action that everybody does, you know, is this person acting in goodness, passion, ignorance? Basically, see, all this philosophy is ultimately to help us in our bhakti. So, for helping us in bhakti, ultimately it's anukulya sankalpa pratikulya varjana. So, if somebody has offered us food, then that devotee may actually sincerely prepare the food lovingly and is offering it to us. And if you say, hey, this food is in passion, I can't take it. That will not be proper reciprocation at that time. So, in general, it is good to analyze in a broad way. But in specifics, if you start analyzing every devotee's behavior or every single behavior, a general pattern is okay. Sometimes a devotee may go into passion. That's okay. But specific behaviors or specific foods, you start analyzing whether it's goodness, passion, ignorance, it might become a little complex. So rather than looking at it in terms of goodness, passion, ignorance, the more foundational classification is what is anukul and what is pratikul. So, and again, you know, goodness, passion, ignorance, it's not necessarily the same for everyone. Now, somebody who is a very, very energetic, hard-working devotee, say for that devotee to eat even 10 chapatis may fill only 50% of the stomach. So you could say that is according to Ayurveda in goodness. But for somebody else to even eat 5 chapatis may be in passion. Because they're just overeating. The stomach gets completely full and so it doesn't do anything. Or it can even be in ignorance because the person just goes off to sleep after that. So we can't really take one factor and judge it in a broad way. So this is a analytical framework which is useful. But we can't apply it to every situation. We can apply it, but that can often distract us from our devotional motivations and reciprocations. So it's better to focus on how we can best serve Krishna, and then secondarily we can also use goodness, passion, ignorance. Now, for example, some devotees may take achar. Now, somebody may say achar is you'll see, look at the, what is this? This verse? No. Tikshna ruksha vidahinaha. So, you know, katva amla launatya ushna tikshna ruksha vidahina. So, it's katva. So, you know, katva amla launa. It's in passion. So, if you don't want to take it, that's fine. But you know, if some other devotees take it and it doesn't affect him in a particular way, then we don't have to make a big issue out of it. Is clear? Okay.
It is mentioned in Bhagavata, somebody eats fruits or something like that, he's in goodness. Or somebody is eating very oily, spicy, he's in passion. Or eating meat and all, in ignorance. This is related to our previous questions only. So, how we can understand the devotees are, all devotees are eating same kind of prasadam, but they are modes are different. Somebody like more goodness, or somebody like passionate goodness, like that.
So, you know, the foods are of, devotees eat the same food, but their modes are different. So, on the other hand, we say somebody who eats natural foods, that's his goodness. Well, actually the food is one factor. It is not the only factor. And we have to also look at the whole other life that a person is living. So of course, the way the person has lived in the past also makes a significant contribution. So our diet is one factor that determines our moods, but it is not the only factor. So surely if a person is eating passionately, that will have consequences. That will lead to certain effect on the modes, but that may be gradual. So there's no need to sort of try to find out a one-to-one correlation. Is it? No, it's okay if you can find it, but that's not the primary focus. The primary focus is just on what is anukul and what is pratikul. As devotees come from various backgrounds. As I said, you know, it also depends on the body. Now, Bhima would eat 50% of the food that everybody else would eat together. When Drishtadyumna came along, after Draupadi was taken by Arjuna, and she went, so Drupada and Drishtadyumna, they didn't know who was this. So Drupada told Drishtadyumna, who was actually this person who won the hand of Draupadi? So Brahmana, go and find it. So Drishtadyumna followed him, and then they were in a room, so Drishtadyumna went near the window and was secretly peeping and seeing. And then he found that his sister Draupadi was serving, and Kunti was telling how to serve. So he saw, Kunti told that, you know, all the food that is there, divided into two parts. And give one part to this person. So the student said, who is this person? You know, taking one part of the whole food. And then he said, take the remaining part. And then, now, divide that into six parts. So four for the four Pandavas, one for you and one for me. So now Bhima eats so much food. Does that mean that he is in ignorance? No, he is pure devotee, isn't it? You know, he is a pure devotee. So there are variations. So it's difficult to judge based on one factor only. One factor only. You know, it actually is. I think I mentioned this in the last issue of Upanishad, maybe if I didn't. So I remember how, you know, this based on food judging can be very, very dangerous. Because we can completely misunderstand somebody. I remember once I was in Chowpatty and I came for prasad, so that day it was a feast. Many years ago, 5-6 years ago. So I just came a little late. So the sweet was over. So I felt a little bad. And I sat down to take prasad. Then I saw on the opposite side, there was a senior devotee sitting. And I saw that his sweet was already over. And then he's asking, sweet hai kya? So there were always different devotees were serving. And every devotee was serving, asking, sweet hai kya, sweet hai kya, sweet hai kya? And then I was thinking, what is this? You already got one serving and why are you asking everyone? And you know, he was a very serious afferent devotee. And then everybody was asking, and finally I was feeling very, very almost disgusted about the whole thing. And finally, there was no sweet available. So some younger devotee, he came, he brought his own plate. And he said, yahan se sweet le lo aap. What is this, you know, taking directly from somebody else's plate. And then when he was about to serve, and they would say, mujhe nahi chahiye. And that devotee pointed, inko sweet nahi mila, inko jaake do aap. So he was asking that sweet for me. So now if nobody had brought the sweet, then I would not ever have known only that he was asking that sweet for me. And I heard that this person is so greedy or whatever. So it's best not to judge. Okay, let's complete these two verses. Katvam lalavna tyaushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha Ahara Rajasasyeshta Dukha Shokamaya Pradaha. So, here it is. Now, Sanskrit is a language. You know, in language there is a figure of literary device called onomatopoeia. It's complex. What it means is that by the sound of the word, you can understand its meaning. So, that's a literary device. So, Krishna uses that over here. So if you hear the word katvam lalavunati ushna, so that sound itself is jarring. So the food is also jarring like that, you know. So tikshna ruksha vidahinaha. So what are the Prabhupada says? Too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. So, you know, I read a book about salt, sugar and fat. So this is written by a famous journalist. So he said how when food marketing became an industry. Now if you see in Vedic culture, food was never sold. It was given charity. And overall in various cultures all over the world, now giving food was considered a noble act. And food may be sold in hotels, but food marketing was never a big industry that way. So in the 1980s, when the competitive 1970s, 1980s, when the food marketing was becoming very aggressive, so they did some research and they found that if there is more sugar, there is more salt, and there is more fat, then the food tastes better. The food tastes better. Natural it is. It doesn't require big research to find that out. But what, that was something that the finding they focused on. And from the 1970s and roughly 1980s onwards, the big giants like we have McDonald's and all these people, these food processing giants, they started increasing this in their food consciously. And from the 1995-2000 onwards, now there has been they started finding that there is basically a obesity epidemic in America. Obesity is overweight. So epidemic, you know, it's like currently the American army is facing a crisis because, you know, they don't have enough healthy candidates to join their army because so many of their young people are obese. And why are they obese? Because the food that they eat, the fast food that they eat, they are such that they naturally lead to obesity. So now the government is trying to pass laws, but these all these food processing industries, they have big financial clout and they can't even pass the laws. But it has been well documented that these foods, see, even meat was always a part of diet of people, in the sense that people were meat eating. But in the past, there were never slaughterhouses that are there, huge slaughterhouses that are there like today. And because meat is not as easy to get as, say, fruits and vegetables and crops and grains, so meat, when it was a part also, it was a small part of the diet. It is only after the meat packing industry came up, slaughterhouses came up, that for many people, meat is a part of morning, after evening, all diet throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. So this is, meat may be a part of the diet. Prabhupada says that, you know, we have to took canine teeth. We have canine teeth somewhere. So we can eat meat, but it's only a small part of the diet. So like that, what is it, too salty. So all this talked about over here. So this is a consciously made plan. And those who eat these fast foods, you just can't avoid it. Because they have so much salt, so much sugar, so much fat, that naturally people will become obese by it. Inevitably they will become obese. So the only way is, so now, they are saying three options. One is that you get people to stop eating fast food, but that is very difficult to make them do that. Then second option is saying that you should try to decrease the FAO, Food and Agriculture, the organization, regulatory organization of America, are suggesting this to these companies. Second is you decrease the food, the sugar, salt and fat content in these. But they are saying that if we decrease it, you know, the customers will not purchase it, and others are providing it, they will purchase it from them. They're saying make a cumulative law by which you don't allow anyone to make it like that. But what happens is, that sort of cumulative law is very difficult to make, because there can be almost small scale vendors, small houses where people will make it like that. You cannot regulate it everywhere. So then they are saying that ban all fast foods. I'd say they ban that resolution only. You can't do that. So you know, it's clearly they know that they're going towards a health crisis, but they just don't know what to do about it. So they now, in America especially, there's a lot of awareness about this. So they make documentaries on Food Incorporated, food as a business. So there is a book called We Are Committing Suicide with Our Food. We are committing suicide with our food. The way we are eating, we are actually going to our early grave. So, you know, there is an old Greek proverb which says that 1/4 of what you eat, you live on 1/4 of what you eat. On the remaining 3/4 lives your doctor. So here, katvam lalona atyush. Yeah. Quickly.
With respect to these two bitter, two sour and salty. Even in prasadam point of view, because many of the fast food things are cooked, and in the name of prasad, it's taken by devotees and all that. One aspect, spiritual aspect, we know that it's always getting a spiritual credit of that. But on a material level, when we see that, because it's as good as outside food in many of the, when material aspect if we see, material point. In that case, that food, just as it causes distress, misery and disease, when it comes to the bodily platform, do that have the same effect, and how do we correlate this?
So, does prasad, if it is fast food offered to Krishna and then taken, will it have the effects on the body? which are there over here. Yes, the prasad, it is transcendental, it will have transcendental effects. But it is also material, it is also manifested in the material world, so it will have material effects. So, we have to be discriminating, careful in what we take as prasad. So, if it is going to have, you know, we all, if we have sickness, we have to follow some pathya. Okay, don't take this, don't take this. If we just say that it's prasad and still take the pathya, it will have its effects on our body. So, generally, the transcendental manifestations, they will have a transcendental effect, no doubt. But then, they are also manifested in the material world. So, we also have to take into consideration the material factors. Just like all other manifestations. Now, for example, if I am serving the deities, now I want to dress the deities, I want to serve, but if I have a back problem, then by serving the deities, I may just aggravate my back problem. Just because I am serving the deities doesn't mean that my back problem is going to disappear. So similarly, with any manifestation of Krishna, when we are serving, there is a transcendental effect which will lead to purification. And of course, the transcendental effect will depend on who has cooked, in what consciousness, how well it is offered. Those factors are there that will determine the transcendental potency. But at a material level, material effect will be there, and we have to take care of that. So again, this is not for us to judge other devotees. This is for to discriminate for ourselves. Our different devotees have different extent of blessings of Lord Vaishvanara. You know, some devotees may have a very vigorous digestion capacity also. So then they can eat and they can digest.
In that case, I just wanted to clarify. Taking this food, for example, myself, but I am taking this kind of food. So I can be considered under devotional service, but as a person in the mode of passion having these foods.
So if I am taking this kind of food, is it that I am in passion? As I said, that diet is in passion, but that doesn't mean I am in passion. See, our mode, the mode which we are in is determined by a variety of factors, among which diet is one factor. So it's not necessary that I am in passion, but that particular diet is in passion. Is it clear the difference between the two? The diet will no doubt contribute to the mode that I am in, but that is one contributing factor. That is not the sole decisive factor. So we can't say that if somebody likes pizzas or somebody likes things like, there is a whole, you know, there is a article written by our Vraj Bihari Prabhu, the VIH Bihari Prabhu, he says, pizzas or pakodas, the battle between the liberals and the conservatives is gone. So, you know, pizzas are for the liberals and pakodas are for the traditionals. So his point was basically that we will always have the liberals and the conservatives within our movement. And we can't homogenize everything in the movement. So it's just that aspect may be in passion, but overall it may not be that the devotee is in passion. Is it clear? Yeah. Let's complete this verse. Last one, then we'll discuss in this section at least. Yatayamam gatarasam Puti paryushitam chayat Puti paryushitam chayat Uchishtam apichamedhyam Hojanam tamasapriyam. So yatayamam gatarasam. Yatayamam is after a long time after being cooked. Gatarasam, so the juice is gone. This is opposed to rasyasnigdha stiraradhya. That is juicy, that which is juiceless. Puti paryushitam chayat. Puti means it's putrid, bad smelling. Paryushitam, decomposed. And uchishtam api chamedhyam. So now, the first characteristics are sort of physical characteristics. And the subsequent characteristics is more of religious or spiritual characteristics. Uchishtam is touched by somebody and is left. Chamedhyam. That is used to be uneatable. So, untouchable, Prabhupada says, bhojanam tamasapriyam. So, this kind of is pleasing to those who are in the mode of ignorance. So, here, Krishna is telling that, especially now, the food in ignorance, you can see it also. Okay, this is rotten, decomposed. So, how can one eat such a food? But then, today, rotten, decomposed food can also be made to look very attractive by various sort of preservatives and coloring agents, and there is a lot of sort of window dressing of the food that is done, by which is made to look very good, but it may not be so healthy. So of course, no, ultimately we take the food that is available to us, and that is also a prasadam. But it's good to know this is in the mode of ignorance, and in general there is a significant movement in the West, and it's slowly coming to India, that where more and more people are turning toward natural food, because they find natural food is far more nutritious for health. So in the name of food, the way the economy is made in the West and in India also, often artificial foods are cheaper than natural foods. Artificial, for example, in America, if you go, you want to take one fruit, often the fruit is more expensive than a hamburger or a hot dog or some other McDonald's product. How does that happen? Because huge amount of farmland is used to produce corn. And corn is almost like a standard staple within corn powder or corn flour or corn in some way. It is almost in all fast foods it is there. And then, because corn is highly subsidized, then it can be used and it can be made, because it's made mass produced, so it becomes very cheap. So, often in today's society, natural food becomes actually more expensive than artificial food. The Gauranga Prabhu sometimes says, you know, if you go to some grahastha's house, you tell, say, hum sirf phal lete hai. So, some grahastha's, they say, they think, फल तो हम बच्चों को भी नहीं दे पाते हैं हमारे सो फ्रूट्स आर सो एक्सपेंसिव नाउडेज सो दैट विच नेचर प्रोवाइड्स फ्री इट बिकम्स सो एक्सपेंसिव सो दैट्स अ सॉर्ट ऑफ इन्वर्टेड वैल्यूज दैट आर देयर इन सोसाइटी यस फ्रू Where is the mic? You had a question? Yes? Yeah. No. Sridhar Priya.
Sridhar Priya. Last verse, that what category of foods comes under that which is dry?
What category of foods comes under dry?
The mode of passion.
Ruksha, dry. I don't think dry fruits come in this category. I think here the whole point is that foods that are not in their natural condition. You know, so for example, they are artificially made, say they are excessively spiced, excessively salty. So, if certain foods are naturally dry, then keeping them dry is not a problem. What Krishna is talking over here is about sort of unnaturally changing of the foods. So he's talking about dry is in that sense. Okay. So will you stop? Okay. So I think we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. We are good. How many verses did we complete today? Did you count? No, 10 plus. No, earlier also I completed, no? Previous chapter. 17 plus 10. Which verse did we start with? Okay, 9th we started. 9 to 24 is? 16. 16 plus 10 is 26. 26 in? Yeah, 3 hours. I came at 3:30, almost 3:15. So 4 hours. That means 6 verses per hour. We want to do 7, isn't it? 7 or 8. So 6 is okay, reasonable speed. So now, any idea, any announcement about tomorrow? Not yet, no? Okay, fine. So we'll decide about tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande.